Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat Podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White. Morning, Richard.
Good morning, Kevin.
Well, we're going back to Ask the Pastor, and so let me dive into this conundrum that this person has presented us with. They say, I've been a performance-based Christian. I grew up in a dysfunctional family with an alcoholic father, so I tried to please and fix people along with trying to win people for Christ. It seems like kind of a dangerous mix there. To leave the performance-based life and live under God's grace and mercy leaves me without purpose and direction, but with a great sense of freedom. And they go on to say that they fear taking pleasure in living, and then they're also conflicted with living in legalism versus living under grace.
Great question. Wow. I think, you know, whether you've had a dysfunctional home or a highly functional home, I think this is probably the struggle for all of us. Certainly in America, you know, pick yourself up by your bootstraps, can-do attitude, put me in, coach. Everything about our culture is based on performance review. That's how you move ahead in work. We're graded in school, you know, A to, you know, D's, E's, F's. So, it's more than just ingrained in us from perhaps a bad home, even a good home. It's ingrained in us through the culture we live in. So, yeah, unfortunately, fortunately for us, that's not how God works. Praise God, it's not how we work. Because if it was, I mean, one of the things we need to do is we need to think, how deep is this rabbit hole of a performance-based Christianity? It's hideously deep, and there's no bottom on it, because in performance-based Christianity, you wind up on one of the two horns of this dilemma. One is pride, where you feel like you've mastered something and you're doing really good, and it leads to pride. You look down on others. Look what I've done, you know. And so your faith, your relationship with God comes, well, you owe me, Lord. After all I've done for you, you owe me. The other horn of the dilemma is shame and despair, because you failed. And so you walk around feeling, you know, so unworthy. God can't possibly love me. Look how I failed him time and time. And so, you know, a performance-based person is, maybe they're doing really well. Maybe they have a really great season. They're knocking it out on their devotions, and they've been in church 4 Sundays in a row, and, you know, they've controlled their passions, and, you know, they've held their tongue, and they're feeling really good. And then, boom, Monday morning comes or something. You know, they walk into the office, or the kids, you know, have a meltdown, and you lose it, and you think, darn, all that good stuff I've blown it. Now I'm back at square one. I'm you know, low rung of the ladder again. And that's the pit that performance-based Christianity is. But we need to go deeper still down what I call this rabbit hole, because performance-based Christianity is a sin. And it's the sin of self-enthronement. It's the sin of positioning myself in the kingdom of self as though somehow it's up to me and I can do it. If just given enough time and, you know, conditions are right and I got my game on, I can do this. I can live this life that pleases God and wins his approval. That's sin. It's just absolute sin, because at the end of the day, what do I need Jesus for? What a waste for the cross. I could have done this, Lord, if you'd just give me time. And so it's a rejection of Christ and his grace. Now, what performance-based Christianity does is it causes us to view people very differently. When we're operating in the kingdom of self, self-reliant faith, we will turn people into vehicles or obstacles. Either somebody's in the way, you're preventing me from being able to you know, honor God the way I need to. So we despise, slander, maybe have to get rid of them or avoid them. Or we turn people into vehicles. And I think this is what this person was talking about, of the need to go around and fix people and please people, even win others to Christ. Well, what are people? They're vehicles that you're using to justify yourself. I mean, so this is really hideous stuff, this performance-based Christianity. And I would say that the purpose and direction that a person might have operating out of a performance-based Christianity is a misdirection, and it is a wrong purpose. Mm-hmm. It may seem right. Oh, I just want to fix this person. I want to help this person. Great. But your motive underneath that is completely alien to God and his purposes and who he is. You're operating counter to God himself. And so that's sin. I mean, that's how deep this is and hideous it is. And every Christian I know is wrestling with this, you know, performance-based. Well, if I just, you know, if I'm good here, I do that, you know, nice to these people, fix these people. You know, there can be those moments of where it's genuine in us, I suppose, but where we really do want to help. But you got to work that thing down. What is motivating the heart? What's driving it? And in performance-based Christianity, it is this sense, the enthronement of self, the kingdom of self, and it's up to me if it's going to be. Mm. And you know, grace comes into the picture and says, it's not up to you. It is up to Jesus and what he's done. And so there's got to be the humbling of ourselves, the repentance of reliance on self. And, you know, faith is, you know, the opposite of faith is not so much unbelief. It's really self-reliance. The opposite of faith is, well, then I'll do something and I'll get it done. And so faith is saying, Jesus, only you can get it done. And I rest there. And I think this person is, in the question has found that. And there's a freedom. And so now, yeah, what do you do? What do you do with this freedom that you have? And grace tastes really good, but, you know, where do I go with that? Where do I find purpose in life? And, you know, I think the purpose comes in response to Christ. So out of wow, Jesus, what you've done for me. I mean, if we really think about that and let that go deep in our heart, it's going to produce a gratitude and a humility. And so when I see people around me who are hurting, I'm not going to want to go fix them to justify myself because I'm already justified, but I'm going to want to say, wow, they need Jesus just like I do. I'm just as broken as they are. And I've got some really good news. I've got medicine for their soul, so to speak. And so the motive becomes love rather than self. It becomes love for that person. It becomes love for Christ, who really is the hope that people need. And so I think our purpose is, if you took two lives, you took a performance-based Christian person and you put them right next to a grace-based person, on the externals, they may look very similar. Oh, they're helping people. You know, these are people who, you know, they're giving themselves to in ministry. They're winning people to Jesus. They may look the very same, but the heart motive is completely different. Mm. The grace-based person is doing it out of love for Jesus and love for that person who doesn't know Christ. Or because what I do have with Christ, I've got something to offer this person. They may reject it, but you know, here I am moving in this person's life, not to make myself look good to God, but it's true ministry, loving, forgiving, blessing. I think the purpose and direction You know, we are to bless others, and you may be framing your life with grace is, okay, God has put me in this world. He's put me in this home with these kids. He's put me in this marriage relationship. He's put me in this work environment to be the blessing of Jesus Christ in this place. And, you know, I think for a performance-based person, especially somebody who's, for whom it's just deeply, deeply ingrained in them. And I think you almost have to wake up every morning and you tell yourself two things. Number one, I am already loved. God could not love me any more than he does right now in Jesus Christ. Before I've done anything, I am loved by my Father in heaven. And the second statement is, and there's nothing I can do today that can mess that up. Mm. There's nothing I can do that can mess it up. And that's the one that plays in our minds. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. What if I sin? Okay. Whom the Father hates, he disciplines. No, Scripture tells us whom the Father loves, he disciplines. God may discipline us, absolutely. But he does so out of love, not because he hates us. And that's the hardest thing to believe for our performance-based head. But I am loved by my Father, and there is nothing I can do today that's going to mess it up. And if I'm doing stupid stuff, the Father is still going to pursue me by love and work in me for my good and for his glory. I use this illustration a lot, but because of what Jesus Christ has done, you know, the performance-based person is living in a courtroom. And in a courtroom, you know, there's a judge, and you're the defendant, and you're having to prove yourself before this judge so you don't get judged. Well, Jesus stepped into that courtroom. He took the punishment and the sentence, and justice was satisfied. You know, the wrath of God was satisfied. We sing about that. Well, the effect now is that because of Jesus, the courtroom doors have been shut and bolted. The windows have all been boarded up. The lights have been turned off, and the judge is no longer in there. The judge has vacated the courthouse. The judge now has come to his home, and he has a big living room, and he's taken off the judge's robes. He is a loving father, and he says, come and live in the love of my living room. That's where a Christian lives, not in the courthouse. We will never go back to the courthouse. And being able to live in the truth of that, we have to tell ourselves that my Father loves me and I can't mess this up. I'm in the living room of his love. Jesus brought me here. And living in the reality of that, then, okay, Lord, what does it mean to live in this freedom? Well, look around. There's a very needy world. And I think the Father is saying, come join me. Come join my son as we are seeking to bring healing and blessing in the lives of people around us. So I'm not sure there's 1, 2, 3 easy steps to overcoming this, but I think these are the kind of things we need to be constantly bringing before our minds, telling ourselves and living into. And if there's a sense of a lack of purpose or direction, you know, you live in the joy and the freedom, and there's a lot that is joyous because of the freedom we have in Christ. But I think we begin to ask, Father, how do I use this freedom for your glory? How can I run with Jesus today? Would you show me the good works you've prepared for me? Would you show me ways to bring the blessing of Jesus to others, even as I enjoy it? And without feeling guilty that I have it and that I can enjoy it. You know, I think ask the Father for that sense of purpose and direction. And I think he'll show that to us.
Wow. Boy, those words, we need to hear those every day.
Yeah, we do. We do. I am loved by my Father, and I can't mess it up.
Well, friends, let's remind each other of that. And will you pray for us in that regard?
I will.
Thank you.
Oh, Father, we do thank you so much for grace. Thank you that we didn't wake up this morning having to earn your love, to earn your acceptance. We had it when we went to bed last night. We have it this morning when we got out of bed. And thank you that through the course of the day, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Nothing in heaven or on earth. Nothing in our work, not even in our sin, Lord, because that too, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord, this is the hardest place to live in the grip of your grace, but would you enable us to live there and to thrive there, Lord, and to be motivated from that, Lord, that we may be good moms and dads and husbands and wives and children. We may be effective, Lord, in our work because we are compelled by a love for Jesus Christ, knowing how great and wonderful his love is for us. So, Lord, let this serve as a deeply motivating force in us to provide purpose and direction for our good and for his glory. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.